Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You know what's amazing? You know, I love it, and God bless Pastor Samuel Duth. Sent him a text last night, said, bro, you're on in the morning. I'm going back up quarterback at night. And I tell you that because we were away for the weekend. And, you know, when you hang out with big people, you know you get bigger. It's just kind of what happens. You play tennis with someone better, you get better. You hang out with Super Bowl champs, you become one. I was hanging out with Rex Crane and his wife this weekend. It wrecked me so much. It tore my message in half and then added a whole nother half. But how many know that's a good thing? So it's pretty amazing. And you know, that video is so powerful. Some of you may not have been around 12 and a half years, but I have been. I met in the room of Pastor Juergen's house for our first prayer meeting ever and got wrecked and offended. I don't know how you do both. But the sick part of me kept going back every Wednesday because it needed to be healed. And what was amazing is, reflecting on that video, I got to be a part of every single revolution. And so to stand here and tell you that I was on the other side when we were believing for this day is so trippy. It almost gives more weight to what's about to go down for you and I. Because when they say 16 campuses, how many know it's not about 16 campuses? It's really about the purposes of no one in San Diego having to drive more than 10 to 20 minutes to find a life-giving church. That's really what this is about. And I got back from Australia and went down there for the global conference. And as we were sitting here, I got an email, and it was like the recap. See, what happens is when you're a part of something special, you never want to lose it. You only know what you know. And see, I was raised in a great Christian family. I was going to church, and that's all you knew. And I was pretty much a small, pathetic Christian, but that's all I knew. You know, so I was like, man, if this is all you got, I might as well just go explore other epic areas of life, which weren't that epic to find out. And then I came to C3, and I saw power. Got to hang out, and I've seen power for 12 years. I've seen radical healings. I've seen stuff that your mind can't comprehend because it's not of this world. How many know that will stretch your faith? When I played Christianese in the box, that's what I knew. I came to C3, there is no box. It's outside the box. But it's amazing that even though I can be in this the last 12 years, I can box myself back in a box. You hate hearing that from your pastor, but meaning you can get back to where life is just going through the motions. When I was down under, I got to see this understanding of what globally they said C3 was. So to see it from the top down, I just want to give you a little, isn't that funny how the devil works? Oh, yeah, you're going to do that right now? Ha! He'll pay for that. Okay, I had it up this entire time, and it goes blank, and now it says loading. Funny how that goes. Somebody's getting saved up in here tonight. Okay. I love it. The devil messes with me all the time. How many know it's just a beat down later for him? It's just as annoying. So I was going to show you, but it's okay. I have it memorized. C3 is a couple things from the top down. Why do I tell you this? Because I want you to know what you're a part of. Okay, C3 is Holy Spirit, not weird. C3 is about authentic relationships. Oh, you got the email too? Wow, I don't feel so special. Oh, well. It said no Prius owners at the top. I was like, just come back. Hey, bro, it's all about your language. I'm speaking Tesla over your life. Tesla, come on. Somebody's going to sow one in your life, Samuel. Come on. We have authentic relationships. Be real. Last one, we empower people. We provide freedom. That's from the top down. Why do I tell you those three things of what C3 is from the top down? Because that is what Pastor Phil and his beautiful bride has been in their heart's desire since day one, 1,000 churches by 2020 with that same heartbeat of what you just heard. Because I grew up in a church that wasn't real. So why do I give you kind of the lay down is because I want to tell you where we're going tonight. Is just some revelations I've had as of late about we're in the stretch series. I went back to every defining year where I felt my faith stretched, and it was during this month because on the back end of this month is empower. So it's amazing. My heart gets stretched because my treasure is getting stretched, what I'm sowing in and believing. I got to look back over the 12 years and see what my wife and I have done, and man, I was like, wow, we're building the kingdom financially. We're winning souls because of buildings that we got to sow into. That's a legacy forever. I'm not going to let this turn into a Starbucks one day. I'm telling you. You go to Europe, there's been a lot of cathedrals that's been turned in and turned over to something else. Beautiful buildings that they're holding real estate conventions in. What happened? You know, it's a sacred trust, and I really believe God gives it to us to honor it, to hold the church. You know, the church isn't about the building. The church is about us, you and I in here. If the building burnt down tomorrow, we'd still be the church. But when you're given ground to take ground, it's important to honor that. And so the title of my message is Power Stretching. It's a God thing. Because there's been some times where we got to get into some power stretching. And tonight's one of those nights. I don't want it to be check the box Sunday. And what was really on my heart is that, man, here I was. I came to this church and I saw my first radical miracle where I saw a little boy raised from the dead. How many know that will change you? How many know that my theology didn't line up with what I saw? It wrecked me. It still wrecks me. I still have the sticker of the day that I went to the hospital on my Bible, so I never forget. Because you know what's amazing? You can forget. I know people that have been around radical miracles, and yet right now, they just are existing in church. How can you see a little boy get raised from the dead and then go to church on Sunday like you're numb? Because the devil has every trick. He's going to do everything he can to get us back into going through the motions. You know where else I see it? Not just church. I see it in marriage. How I met my epic bride on a Southwest flight. I knew right there, all sugar. If she knows Jesus, I'm going to marry her. And then when she didn't know Jesus, I was like, well, there's a chance I could get her to church. Are you saying there's a chance? Yes, I am. She came and she got saved. But how many know that you can get into a marriage and then all of a sudden start taking it for granted? How you can start going through the motions. It's amazing. And it's amazing whether it's church or a relationship or business. I'm passionate about my business. I loved it. I said, man, there's no greater purpose until you start getting involved with church and radical miracles. But I said, man, my first love was my field. Man, I get to empower people, teach people, do all that stuff. I'll never lose it. But then how many know, you know, you're 10 years in, you're like going through the motions. How does that happen? How can we see radical things in whatever line of business and still get caught up into the numbness of existing instead of really living? That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Because the devil can do whatever he's going to try to do to get us apathetic. Apathetic in our church life, apathetic in our walk with Christ, apathetic in our relationships with our wife or spouse-to-be or whoever, whatever it may be. We got to rage against the machine when it comes to this because we don't want to lose intimacy with the things that bring us the most joy. So I got to make sure that we stay plugged in and alive because lives are on the line. When purpose gets diminished, we start getting emotional. And our emotionally, we can be off purpose because get wound up in it all. And that's how one of the reasons why the devil takes us out. And so I want to, you know, preach fast and minister long, but 2 Kings 13, 14 to 22 is kind of part one of this message. Part two is coming real quick, but I want to give you the Old Testament and the New Testament and break it down for you. But right here, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. And then he said to the king, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hand on the king's hand. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elijah said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, thank you for the lighting, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and he stopped. And the man of God was angry with him. And he said, "You should have struck five or six times." Then he said, "You have struck Syria till you had it destroyed. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Meaning you didn't do enough. You did just enough. So when I was looking into this whole thing of like, why would God highlight this? Here's the thing. I'm just doing the yearly Bible. I'm going through it. Why did God highlight this? And then I keep going on my thing, but he kept bringing me back to this scripture. Here's the amazing thing about the Word of God. We can get so busy, we forget reading, and we go through the motions, just like I was going through the motions, reading my daily Bible, because I made a commitment this year. I'm going to make it all the way through. I'm not going to get behind. I'm not going to let the devil distract me. So I'm reading for the sake of reading, not for the sake of revelation. So God checked me in my spirit. Said, "You're getting religious about reading your Bible." Then he started sharing me, "Hey, I know you're getting excited because you're taking that context of people giving in church where their heart is, so is their treasure." And I love it because I was sitting there just praying, going, "God, thank you for the people. Tithes are going up because their hearts are going up." And he goes, "But are they more generous?" He goes, "Or are you just getting them more religious?" See, God then showed me I can get religious about even tithing. I can be so proud of myself or my congregation that we're getting the revelation of tithing. And then he calls me out. But are they generous? What are they doing the rest of the week? Or are they still cheap? Are they still thinking small? Are they still not taking people out and loving them like I've called them to do is love my people? How many know you just never want to be called out by God like that? So he goes, "You're the good shepherd. Are you leading them?" Hello. So then he brought me back to this. The whole revelation is God's giving key things, especially in this, and I'll just break it down real quick, is the revelation that God was giving me over this whole verse is that this king was off base. The king of Israel was away from really God. He had other idols. He was doing stuff he shouldn't have been doing. But even in that, he still got a word from the Lord. Even though he was off, he was still getting prophesied over, that he was still going to get the blessing of the Lord to take down strongholds and defeat his enemy, even when he wasn't living completely right. That was my first revelation. Second one, why did he even say the east window? It's amazing. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. It's a new day. It's a new thing. God says every day when you wake up, it's a new day. Hit the reset button. I don't want you thinking about things of the old. I don't want you worried about what happened yesterday. There's fresh manna today. There's a fresh thing today. My bread is new every day. Have your new expectation every day. You know why you're getting complacent? You know why you're going through the motions? Because you're thinking about the grind. You're thinking about the hustle. You're thinking about yesterday. You're thinking about your checklist. You're thinking about all the things. But get present now. open up your east window and watch that sun rise, smell the roses, see what I have for you. Makes me look at my wife differently. Intimacy is into me, you see, is what keeps it fresh, real, and powerful. But that wasn't it. God was saying that this king, going through the motions, got a prophecy, the prophecy he needed to defeat his enemies. But then when he was told to do something, he just went through the motions, just doing a thing to doing a thing, because he had lost his fear of the Lord. Because if he actually knew what was coming, if he knew his enemy, he would have kept striking. He would have kept striking. He would have kept striking. The one thing I can tell you about Alabama football, they're going to keep striking, keep striking, keep striking, and run that score up, because they don't want to leave any chance that their record could be broken, that someone could come back in the fourth quarter because they got tired. You know what I love about that? He's like, we're going to keep slamming that thing down. But it's amazing. This king just tap, 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 going through the motions. How many of us as Christians are just going through the motions? What I love about John Day is trying to usher us into a next level of worship tonight, just saying, hey, if you want a miracle, you don't have to wait till the Book of Miracle comes, because we can get in a routine. Why don't we just worship our God now? God's not up there waiting until the Book of Miracles happen. He's waiting until you engage and that happens. What level of engagement are we in? See, apathy is the thing that we all can get stuck in. Feeling sorry for ourselves is what we can get stuck in. Just going through the motion of another day is what we can get stuck in. And God say, no, you got to snap out of that thing. Otherwise, you will not defeat your enemy. We cannot just say, I'm going to go to church because I want to go to church. Otherwise, guess what? It's like we're leaving the back door unlocked and open for the enemy to come in and ransack all the precious things that we hold dear to our heart. It's an amazing thing. So just a couple points that I want to get out there. Is number one, when you move, he moves. We got to see a thing through. All throughout the Bible, you know, I love this, is, you know, God told Noah to build an ark. He didn't say, go speak an ark. He didn't say, have faith for an ark. He didn't say, believe for a boat. Speak there a boat. He said, go build me a boat. There's some stuff that we got to build. If you were here this morning, you know there's some stuff we got to speak. How many know that there's power in what we speak? But then there's a time when we're done speaking, we got to start building. I have more people just go, I'm waiting on the Lord. Are you dating? Well, no, I'm just believing God's going to bring her to me. Bro, get a job. Take her out. You might get a second date. Waiting at home playing Xbox is not what God has in mind. Like they're going to friend request you through the Xbox. I notice you're playing that same game every night from 8 to midnight. These are real pastoral care issues, people. Why can't I get a date? Well, I can kind of figure it out. Do you know the devil's going to do whatever he can to get you out of the Word of God? So I'm telling you to start somewhere. These are the books that shaped my life, The Science of Success. Huh. There's a science to it. It's weird. They pretty much rip off the Bible and reprogram it and just, you know, package it up. But I know you'll read it. Think and Grow Rich. Bible references all the way through. Why am I telling you this? Don't get so Christianese you can't read anything else. There's been times where I've been in the Word and just felt like, God, I need a revelation. God, I need a revelation. God, I need a revelation. I'll literally just be sitting there, numb to it. I'll pick over and see my stack of books I'm going through. I'll pick it up. I'll start reading it. Bam, something nails me. I go back to the Word of God. Takes me to the next level. God is resourcing us through many different things. And I can tell you, all of us need to think, hello, and grow rich. Last one is this, the power of positive thinking. This book's been around 5 million copies. My question is, are you one of the 5 million that read it? If I hang out with you for 5 minutes, I'll tell you whether you read it or not. Build it, do it, work it. I just want us to be the church that we are speaking life. We are speaking destiny. We are speaking our future, but we also know we're going to get down to the plow and we're going to build the thing. We're going to do a thing. What do I mean by all this? See, I always say, God, I want to do something big. I want to do something big. And he keeps giving me all these God dreams. And every year I'm like, God, I want to do something big this year. I want to crush my goals. I want to hit those things. And God's like, hey, how about last year you crush out that thing I gave you, and then I'll give you something new. I was tired of reading these declaration cards that were really universal. So he gave me this thing. Well, why don't you put on some scripture on the front of them? You'll memorize scripture, and I'll give you what to write on the back of it. You can declare things over your life. And then I said, I didn't give those just for you. You're going to bless friends with them. So my mind mastery card sat in my spirit for 4 years. Do you know the only reason that they finally got pen to paper? God showed me in a dream that he had a list of all these other incredible things he wanted to do in my life, but I've never been faithful to the one that I started with. Can I tell you how convicting that was? And here I was going through the motions of life. And he's like, just finish this. I told my wife, I'm going out to the river. Don't call me. I need 2 days. I came back and I had my declaration cards totally fitted out, totally finished in a weekend. And then guess what I saw? Breakthrough and blessing and resources and finances and other things come to me. It's amazing that God's given all of us dreams. He's shown you things about yourself. But have you been faithful to develop yourself, to expose that thing to come out the other side? We're all called to lead, but are we developing our leadership skills? Are we pressing into what God has for us? You know, I love it because Samuel preached on it this morning. How bad do you want it? God doesn't force feed faith. The Israelites sat out in the wilderness for 40 years. It should have been a 4 to 9 day trip, depending on how many wheelchairs there were. That was a joke. They didn't have wheelchairs back then. Okay. But what's amazing is they got so used to God's provision. They got fresh manna every day because how many know the manna was going to run out? And so they couldn't store it because it wasn't going to be good the next day. That's living by faith, people. I'm like, my Trader Joe's juice is lasting at least a week. Then I get near the end, I'm sniffing it. I'm like, I probably got another day. No, not fresh manna from heaven. But could you imagine every day for 40 years, God's providing, and yet you don't have faith enough to change your language to get into the promised land? Oh, snap. I mean, what does it take? You know, today is the day of Pentecost. All these years ago, it was 50 days after Easter or Passover. And Jesus said, wait for the power. 500 people waiting in the upper room. Do you know that like 74% of them or 76% of them couldn't even wait for the power? God said, power's gonna come. The comforter's gonna come. The thing, the Holy Spirit's gonna come that you'll be able to do even greater things than I, so wait in an upper room. Yet 76% of the 500 couldn't wait. They didn't even have Netflix and they weren't chilling. That's what I'm saying. What were they doing back there? Chariot races, boulder dashes. They didn't even have cards or dominoes back then. I'm saying, why did they have to leave? There wasn't even Google. I'm saying, what was so pressing they couldn't wait for power? You know why? Because that the devil was working back then, just like he's working today. So the distractions of the era back then are the same thing we deal with every day. And if God's giving you a promise, why aren't you waiting for it? He's spoken a word to me many times that maybe I didn't wait for, maybe I didn't develop. I started going back through over my journal of prophecies that I've had throughout this church. It's amazing. I want to go back and press into some of those prophecies. If you ever get a prophecy in this church, man, get the recording. Listen to it day and night. Don't let it depart from your spirit. Put it in there. Treasure it. Guard it. Pray for it. Let it develop. Let it work its way out. God is outside of time. Doesn't have to wait 40 years. What could have taken 4 days? So what has God asked of you? You know, it's amazing. You know, Rex Crane said this thing about power. You know, God's power, you don't need it for where you're at right now. You need God's power to take you to the level that you can't get on your own. I thought, how true is that? When I went in that hospital room to pray for that kid that was on life support, do you know what? I've never fasted in my life before that time. Man, I was in worship 24 hours. This family needed a miracle, and they were looking to about 5 or 6 of us to walk in there. They were just hoping. They had nowhere else to turn. They leaned in because guess what? God had to get dressed up as some people and walk up in that hospital and do a thing. So how many know the weight of the world, which you don't want it to be, but I'm like, God, you got to do something. He goes, you got to do something. But there's been some areas in my life like, I did that for that kid. Why can't I do that for my own life where I want to see resurrection power? What am I willing to sacrifice to go to the next level in my faith? I want to hear God's voice every day. But what am I willing to do it to get there? It's an amazing thing. Number two, get passionate. How do you set up your day? It's amazing because what happens is everyone's passionate about something. I don't care what it is. I've met the most introverted people. And when I start picking their brain, I watch a little spark. I watch a sparkle in their eye. And I could tell I just hit on a nerve or something. And I go down that vein. I see something come alive on the inside of them. Every one of you were designed. We were designed in the image of our Creator. And He's a passionate God. Dressed Himself up in flesh that came to earth. Thank God Jesus was passionate. Let me tell you, He could have had the angel armies come and take Him. I mean, I'm telling you, I would have got whipped one time. I'd be like, Lord, can you uncallous the hearts of that Roman soldier, please, Lord? How many know He could have called down? He could have changed, Jedi mind tricked all those Roman soldiers. They wouldn't have whipped them that hard. Or it could have said, Lord, take the pain that I don't feel it. He could have done any of those things, yet He didn't because He was passionate. He knew He had to endure the cross to see a thing through for you and I. He didn't water it down because He was passionate. He got up. He was tired, beat, whipped, and He still walked to Calvary. Still said, no one's taking me out of my destiny because He had a passionate love for you and I. That's passion. They named that whole movie, Passion of the Christ, for a reason. I'm telling you that. When you find out we're a passionate Savior and we are the DNA of our Savior, I know there's passion on the inside of it. Whatever the devil can do to let you play small, to get you unpassionate, he's going to do whatever he can. He's going to put every obstacle, every hurdle up in front of you. He does not want to see you lit up for the church, lit up for miracles, lit up for the Lord. Doesn't want to see any of that. He wants you to not be even lit up over marriage. You get all inspired about marriage, talking about your bride, talking about your kids. That inspires other people to get excited about their kids, maybe want kids. It's amazing to see what a little passion can do around a thing. So the devil can do whatever he can do to numb us up. And I'm telling you, it's a full-time job. But what do we do first thing in the morning? What do we do when we first get up? Do we reset our mind? I'm telling you, we gotta guard ourselves daily. I look at blind Bartimaeus. If he wasn't passionate, he'd never get his healing. I know many people that will come in here that I'll find out later that never put their name in the book of miracles, that never raised their hand during their thing, but then they're crying to all their friends how their marriage is a mess. What is it? What has the devil convinced you to keep your name out of the book of miracles, to not even stick your hand up anymore? How good is he to stick lies in your head that you can't even lift a hand, but your marriage is off the rails? Man, we're doing life together. I don't want this church to be the Christianese church that everything's all well and good. No, I want to know that my brothers may be struggling because we're going to see a thing through. We're going to be passionate about seeing some people restored. What happens is the more authentic, that is the culture of C3, the more authentic we are, the devil loses power. He no longer has the control over our life when we get authentic. When we let pride and ego fall to the side and we walk in, you know, now God can heal a thing. You know what, I love it that people always look at miracles like, man, I need to get a miracle. I gotta get something. I need a miracle to get something. But what about needing a miracle for something? What about a miracle to go to the next level? Dream for a bit. I want a miracle for bigger homes, for bigger land, for bigger property. I'm sick of reading about, you know, all these founder magazines and reading about everybody else's wealth. Come on, I'll take some of that. So I gotta put the work in, I gotta think bigger. God says, stretch the way you look at things. Have the mind of Christ the way I see a thing. Quit worrying about how you're going to resource a thing. you know the banker. But it's amazing how I can dumb myself down to think smaller again. Like, oh, I got to figure a way out. No, you don't. I just need a miracle. And God's up there going, man, now your faith is increasing so I can do something. You know why some people don't see miracles? Because they don't make room for them. They just live a small, pathetic Christian life. God can't even do miracles. He goes, gosh, your faith is so boring. When's your faith going to get big is what he tells me. When are you going to start believing that you can see the miracles? Why do you have to go off for one boy in 2008 seeing a miracle? You know, I've had one every year. There's guys every day in the hospital. When are you going to go clear that, you know, floor number 7, which is the cancer ward? When are you going to get enough faith to take your boys in there and start praying for all of them? Now, wouldn't that be a great news story? It's time to get passionate. I'm going to finish on this just so you guys know, and then I want to pray for some stuff. But here, faith under pressure. We move to the New Testament. And we're talking about James 1, 2 through 8. In the message, this is what it said. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when the tests and challenges come to you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help. You won't be condescending when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers, they're like whip-winded waves. Don't think that you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. That's faith under pressure. God wants us so he wants us to feel the pressure. Not because he doesn't love us, he's trying to develop us. How do you build a muscle? Under pressure. How are you going to go to that next level in your life? How are we taking this church, the people in it, and we take Descanso? How do we do that? It's amazing some of the conversations I hear. Oh, what are we going to do? People are going to rise up. There's giftings in here. Some of you got messages in your spirit. Some of you have something that God's been working on, Steve Ileski, Jamin Mentor. Some of you got stuff stirring up on the inside of you. If we're going to take a city, we got to step into our full calling, our full gifting. In the NIV, it says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Just because you doubted. How do we become a doubt-free church? We get around other people that are believing for the miracles, that are believing for the miraculous. You're coming to 5:30 a.m. prayer. I don't want to get up at 5:30. Then you probably don't want to go big. I'm just saying. It's not for everybody, but it should be for everybody at this church. You know, I tell you this because we got to learn to reframe trials. We're going through a trial. Are you complaining about it? What are you speaking about that trial? What are you speaking about that boss? What are you speaking about that circumstance? What are you speaking about that whatever it is? Because whatever you speak about, you bring about. You start complaining, you'll bring on a complaining spirit, which shrinks you. I'm just saying, you know what a real friend is? A real friend is telling you the truth about maybe some things that you're saying, some things that you're doing. That's not being judgmental. I love it. Rex Train said, if you judge a thing, you can't influence a thing. We got too many judgmental Christians. That's why they have no influence. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be Holy Spirit Junior. We need to love people. I want to love you through some of those small mindsets so we can start thinking bigger. We're going to love each other through a thing. You think it's awkward, a mince prayer, I'll have to stop somebody. It's like a whining fest. Do I want to? No, but I care about their future, so I will. I care about them locating what they're saying so now they can check themselves before they wreck themselves and they can go on to start speaking life over that circumstance. What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your job? What are you saying about your finances? Why does Rise and Build bother you so much? Can I just skip this month, Pastor, if you want to stay where you're at? Reframe trials. Be trainable. Do you believe in miracles? When was the last time you've seen a miracle? When was the last time? See, I never want to forget where I came from because I never want to go back there. When I see somebody get delivered, it's power. I get to witness God's power. That person that got delivered was forever changed. But will they remember in a year from now where they were? Never forget where you came from. That's the only thing I do is remember what kind of Christian I used to be. See, I had the faith barely to buy my condo. But man, when I got my condo, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to use this as a God story. God's like, no, you're not. Why not? God, that was such a miracle. I got that condo. That's not going to inspire anybody that I'm going to put you in the circle with. I'm going to put you in a circle with influencers, and they're going to hear that story and be like, oh, isn't that cute? Wait till I really do a thing. This was just to build your faith, not their faith, for where I'm taking you. Be trainable. I said, yes, Lord. Then I got my next house. I'm like, oh, that's the guy's story. God, I'm ready. Put me in the middle. Put me in the middle. I'm going to share that guy's story. Nope. That was for your faith. Then my next house. That was for your faith. Each house stretched me. It changed the way I see a thing. It changed the way I pray about a thing. It changed the way I fast about a thing. It changed the way that I am because I'm not the same person I was when I got my condo. I'm not the same believer I was when I got my house, my second house, my dream house. I know every time it took more faith because I'm a different person. I never want to go back to the faith that I had when I was thinking small. I want to keep enlarging my faith. How do you do it? You get around big people like Pastor Juergen that speaks life over a circumstance. The minute he got to 4 campuses, God showed him 16 campuses. He couldn't have handled 16 campuses when he came to America. He said, God, I don't know anybody. God didn't want to freak him out. God was just stretching him, preparing him. But once he was stretched enough, he says, now you're ready. Because Pastor Juergen got comfortable where he got stretched. Never get comfortable. Pastor Juergen doesn't. And he says, God, stretch me again. He'll go for a surf. He'll go for a walk on the beach, and God will reveal a thing. Are we taking the time to go be intimate with our Father so we can see a thing? Are you trainable? Are you coachable? Do you want to be stretched in the things for the kingdom to see the miraculous, to see the miracles? We weren't put on this earth for a paycheck. We were put on this earth to make a difference. My last thing is seek wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. He gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That's in James. Just ask for more wisdom. God, what's my next step? I have no clue. You took me here. It was blind faith. Thanks for asking. Pastor Juergen, I just heard him say a thing to somebody saying, I want you to read Proverbs for 30 days straight. I'm sitting there going, man, if it's good enough for them, God, tell me that. He didn't have to tell me. I heard it. I'm going to go do it. If that person, it's good enough for them, how many know that we can all go more wisdom? He says, yeah, that's my trick. Whenever I need more wisdom, more certainty, I just get in the Word. See, we're going to read that, but how many know that person, the Holy Spirit's going to say one thing, but to me, the Holy Spirit's going to say another. What you need is already in the Scripture. It's a rhema word. It's a fresh word. It's alive and powerful. That's why don't be one of the 300 and whatever that left the upper room. Stay in the game. Wait for the Spirit to fall upon you. Attract what you expect. Reflect what you desire, become what you respect, and mirror what you admire. Get around people that you look up to. Say, I just want to take you to coffee. I want to be around you. I want to hear you. I don't think that way, but I want to think that way. So many people are loyal because they're like, oh, that's my family. I love my mom, but there was a season that I had to put a boundary around that relationship. I was a mama's boy. I love my mama. But I saw that there's some unhealthy things that I had to say, you know what? For this season, Mom, I'm sorry. You think she liked it? No. Think she respected it? No. She wanted to hear it? No. She put me through H-E-double-L. How dare you? How this? How that? Guilt trips. But I would pray and I would hear the Lord say, where can I take you? Do you want to go to the next level? If I'm going to call you to lead people, you need to let this drama get out of your life for a season so you can hear what health is, so you can hear a thing. Was I afraid to lose my mom? But deep down, I knew I wasn't going to lose my mom. I did lose a relationship for a season. But how many know that I learned about myself? I learned who I was in Christ. I started to hear things different about what I was saying. When I took myself out of the drama, I started to think more clear. See, we can blame the devil for everything, but the devil's not in everything. Sometimes God's going to give us the tools, but we're not listening to what we need to do for the next season of where we need to go. We all have purpose in this room. God's revealing it to us. Where are you at? Like we heard this morning, words locate you. Language locates you. I love this thing. Life is a blank. Back in the day, there was a t-shirt. Life's a, and then you die. Don't buy that shirt. If you say life's a test, then you got problems. If you say life's a party, you're not achieving much, but you sure are having fun. If you say life's a battle, everything's the devil. But what if you said life's a gift? How are you framing your life in the morning? It's an important thing to understand. What if it's a gift? I love it because your calling doesn't come with a retirement plan. We're doing something in here for a reason. I love, like, Sundays are my, listen, I love Monday through Friday, but I'm jonesing for a Sunday. I'm jonesing for men's prayer so I can hear me some God stories that are going to give me the wind in my sails to get me going the rest of the week. One word, one prayer shifts everything in my mind. I hear peace come with one prayer. It's for every one of us. It doesn't have to be church on a Sunday. You can call a friend in this house. I don't have a friend. Well, then be friendly. Say, hey, man, I see, I want your number. And when people don't call me, when my friends don't call me and I know they're going to do, it's the worst thing they can do. It drives me nuts. I never want to find out from somebody else what my friend is going through. You know why, though? They just, in their head, they had this story. He's busy, he's this, he's that. Don't let stories train wreck you. Get set free from stories. Get around people that care. This is how you do a thing. And I leave you this, with this. And then when I want to pray for some people. Just remember every day you wake up, you plow, you plant, you water, you reap. I'll say it again. Every day you wake up, get it in your spirit. You plow, you plant, you water, you reap. Every one of you, we're going to reap a harvest. But we got to start plowing. We got to start planting. We got to start watering. If you're really good at plowing, stop it. Start planting. If you're really good at planting, see, we can get in a motion of something, and we've been doing it so long, we become numb to it. Start watering it. If you've just been walking around going through the motions of watering, start picking your harvest. The devil is a distractor. He's a liar and a distractor. When was the last time you've asked your friends, hey, what have you heard me saying lately? Hey, don't water it down. What are some things that you've heard me saying? Let them locate you. If you like it, great. Start harvesting. If you don't like it, start changing. Start changing the seed that you're sitting in sowing. Every one of I look out and I see potential. I see dreams. I see stuff coming back to life. Every week I hear of a God story. There's nothing greater than when I read through the Book of Miracles and pull a name out because we got an email in that week. Faith is rising. You're never too far gone. Your season isn't over. Your chapter's not done. If you think it's the end of the book, pick up your next one. It is amazing how we can just get in a motion of doing something because we don't know we're in the motion. That's why we have friends, to help us see a thing. When your friends have permission to speak in your life so you can see a thing, now you have a choice. I'm either going to change or I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. And it all depends on where do you want God to take you. But now what you don't have the right to do is be complaining about where you're at. The one thing God was showing me in this whole thing is that as we press in as a church, as we go deeper, he's going to go wider. As we go touch the subjects that need to be touched on, he's going to broaden our influence. He's going to broaden our vision of what we see. We're going to see things differently as we go deeper. As we press in to each other, because we're a relational church, we're authentic and relational. I can promise you this. We get saved. I mean, we could have been at Downtown Friday. This morning, some people got saved up in here. They're going to be like, yes, God did something miraculous. I got set free. That's all they're going to talk about. They're going to be walking around glowing about what God did in their life. Are they still glowing 2 years from now? Or have they got a little bit more judgmental because they got a little bit Christianese? Do you know that you can walk with God and get less Christianese? You just have to look through the filter of what loving people looks like. It's my greatest thing. The difference is, see, I sell crack for a living during the week. That was the joke. I don't sell crack, I adjust people. But I get to be around people in the world that are dropping curse words, that are saying stuff inappropriately, that are making bad decisions. So I can't get Christianese even as a pastor. All I can do is love them. And one day they find out that I'm a pastor. You know what they do? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. We started following you on Instagram. I had no idea you're a pastor. I was saying all these things last week. I'm like, so what, bro? God loves you. Come to church on Sunday. They come to church, they get saved. But what if I start getting judgmental? When we get judgmental, we lose our influence. We're going to stay an influential church because we love people. We love you. It's what I love about Pastor Juergen. I'll never forget the first time, and it healed me forever. Forever I was healed. When I made a mistake, I went to my pastor. And instead of shaming me, he loved me. And it broke something off to my core. It's what he has for you and I. Listen, tonight, this is an altar for a reason. If you don't know Jesus, none of this matters unless you give your heart to Jesus. He's our Savior. He didn't come down to earth to start another religion. He didn't come down to just do a thing. He came down to redeem you and I from our sin so we could spend eternity with him. Because we couldn't get in front of God any other way due to our imperfections. But nothing we've done can keep us out of heaven when Jesus is in our heart. It's not a trick. It's not a bait and switch. You don't suddenly get judgmental when you get Jesus. Christians sometimes give a bad rap. Sometimes I follow Jesus is what I say a lot. But he wants to do a thing tonight. And I'm saying, if you don't know Jesus, I want you to know who your Savior is. I'm going to open up the altar for everybody, because I don't want us to be numb to what we've been going through the motions, just doing church, just doing a relationship, just doing a stuff. I want to open it up because I want everyone to get prayed for. I have the ministry team. And here's the thing. If my ministry team needs prayer, they're going to get prayer. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, if I need prayer, I'm going to get down here and I'm going to get prayer. I have no problem getting in the middle on Tuesdays. You know, pastors walk through the same stuff you and I walk through. Well, I'm talking to myself. We deal with stuff. But when we start putting the man of God syndrome up in the air, like there's nothing I could do wrong, that's a problem. If you see me on the altar, it's not that I lost my faith. I just don't want to get numb. You know how pastors lose their ministry? Because they have no one to talk to. I'll never let that happen. You know how we lose our relationship with Christ? We shove everything down and we isolate because we have nothing to talk to and nobody to talk to. So if my ministry team needs prayer, they're getting prayer tonight. The worship team, she wanted to stop playing. She could stop praying and come down here. We're not going to get all weird that the keys are off. The Holy Spirit's not leaving. But I'm just saying we can get so into it. I'm the keys. I can't go get prayer, but I really need it. Not in this house. So I'm going to pray for us real quick. If you know that you don't feel 100% switched on, the devil's been lying to you, you're feeling a little numb, whether you're on this stage or you're out in that seat, I want you to come down to the altar.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.